life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. I'm Brian Smith, your hand-knitted stop-motion host, and this is episode 21 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. Once again, I am joined by the man who has finally picked a song for his latest AMV, my co-host, Anthony Askew.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Anthony.
A lot of weight off my chest, finally getting that AMV started.
How long did it take you to pick that?
Too long. So, yeah, but I'm there.
Is this for fun, or are you planning on entering it in some sort of con competition?
I'll throw it in.
Are there any con competitions left?
Apparently not now, because nobody cares about AMVs. Back in the past, but I'm still living there, so... But no, I'll throw it into a con. If people want to play it, then play it, but... It's very in-topic as well, what I'm using with today's episode.
Yes,
it is.
We are talking about Redline.
Finally seen it. Finally,
yeah. Come on, catch up.
I know. See, I don't live in London, so I couldn't go to any of those screenings that you managed to go to. And
yeah, like the one in Leeds.
Oh, that's pretty close in all fairness, but... Oh, well. When was that one? Cause
Last November.
Alright, see, that was before my knowledge of Redline, you see. So, it was just a dot on the radar, a little speck. But I've finally seen it. Finally.
So, yeah, I mean, I saw it, first time was last year in May at the London Sci-Fi anime all-nighter that they do. Every year they do sort of overnight, from sort of midnight till early in the morning.
Yeah.
They run sort of 4 or 5 anime films. And,
did Redline headline it?
It was the first thing shown, so
first thing, right.
I was awake.
Good.
Well, I think the headliner goes first, because...
Oh, right, I see.
Otherwise, I think, by the time 8 o'clock people are a bit bleary-eyed, are probably...
Redline would have woke them up, I think, possibly.
So, and then the thing which came after Redline probably put you to sleep, which was one of the Bleach films.
Oh, God.
Which was, boy, was that boring. It was a long, long, lots of talking to build up to a decent fight scene, but...
That was it,
yeah.
I would like to go to one of them, actually. I bet it's good fun.
I've only been to one.
Good stuff.
You get, like, a bag of freebies, which kind of smacked of promotional goodies and stuff that Play.com was trying to get rid of, because they were sponsoring that, similarly to how they sponsored the BFI thing later in the year. But luckily, the free DVD I got was actually something I wanted, which was Doug Benson's Super High Me documentary.
All right.
Which had nothing to do with science fiction or anime, which is why I was suspecting it was just Play.com offloading our stock they couldn't get rid of, because it didn't really tie into the theme of anything.
Well, at least you wanted it, so...
But, yeah, a free $4.99 DVD isn't just sneezed at. The other things they showed were the Musashi anime documentary.
Oh, all right.
Which I think it's just come out.
Actually.
Or is about to come out, I can't remember. It's I'd rent it. I wouldn't buy it.
Nice.
It's worth one watch out of interest more than...
Yeah.
Because it's particularly good. And
see, when is this screening? Is this annually, did you say? Or...
This is annually, yeah. This is normally in May.
Oh, so I've missed it this year.
You missed it this year. I don't know what they showed this year. I didn't go. I mean, I wouldn't go unless there was something absolutely I wanted to see.
Makes sense.
It's a horrible time of day to watch animation.
Is it usually a full house packed?
It was packed, yeah. There was plenty of people, and they kind of overexcited, pepped up on sugary drinks and alcohol. And
smelly otakus.
Well, you know, it's different. It's a slightly different crowd. That's the thing. It's not, because I was going there. There's plenty of people there, and I was like, "There's not many people I recognise from conventions here."
That's a good thing.
There's a few, but yeah, I think it's a slightly different crowd to show up to that.
So no cosplayers or anything like that.
I don't think there were. No. I mean, you don't want to be cosplaying. I mean, it starts at midnight, so you'd have to put your costume on at 11:30. That seems like a ridiculous time of day.
And you're going to be sat in the dark for a lot of the night.
Yeah, no one's going to... And then you've got to get off, leave the theatre about 8 o'clock and get on an early tube. I mean, none of it is conducive to cosplay, unless you're a real weirdo.
And what else did they show, sorry?
Then they showed the first episode of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood and Fate Stay Night? They showed the film of that, which I didn't stick around to watch because I already knew I'd probably dislike it, so I went and caught an early train back to Paddington and went home.
And how much does that set you back?
That was about £30, I think.
So, three films in total, three films. And an episode.
Four films in total. So, Redline, Musashi is a film.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Leech was a film, and Fate Stay Night was a film. I mean, I didn't stick around, but I was paying for that.
Yeah. But and you got your $4.99 DVD, so
yes,
that's all well and good.
And a bunch of other stuff as well, but...
not bad. Yeah, not too bad. Yeah.
I think something around that. Then I saw it in Leeds, as I mentioned, at the... their Leeds International Film Festival, which runs sort of early November. It tends to run, I think.
See, I never know about these little film festivals, and I should.
It runs about a month. It's not that little.
Well, by little, I mean, I don't mean little, but I never hear about these, and then I hear about them when they're finished.
Yeah, well, that's been running for, I think, a decade coming up, or thereabouts now. And they do these phenomenon, but pronounced, replace the, yeah, with fan. With fan.
Clever pronounce stuff.
It properly. and then they, I think they do like, cause they normally start, I think they do one on Halloween, like a horror one, or near enough to Halloween as they can get it. And now they've started doing it as an anime day as well last year. Because before, when I went up there before, they spread it out over various days. So the first time I went in 2009, I saw Summer Wars, Angel's Egg, and Ponyo. Oh, but that was over on the Friday and the Sunday.
Yeah.
But this time they put five films on all on one day, which was, I'm trying to get this in the right order, I think it was the Gintama movie, the One Piece Strong World movie, Marduk Scramble, which is just the first of those, which is very much just the first part. It stops very abruptly, and then you're like, oh, hang on, sure there's more of this. Oh no, I'm going to wait for a sequel. Evangelion 2.0 and Redline. And that was £20.
That's damn good. Yeah. Obviously, you're further up north, so everything's cheaper up.
It is.
Further up north you get.
And that was in the Leeds Town Hall, they showed that.
Mm. Full house once again?
No, not there. It was a very big house, so they'd struggled to fill it. But if you go there, you want to try and get up in the balcony, because that's where the best seats are.
Right, so at this point, I'm sure you're well aware that you quite like Redline. Yeah. You've been to see it twice.
And then I went to see it a third time this year at the Barbican. Where was that? I think it was in March or April, around that time. That wasn't such a great screening. It just, I don't know if it's the Barbican itself, but it seemed, they were running off a Blu-ray rather than like a digital copy, which I think the previous ones have maybe done. That one seemed a little off. I don't know whether it's just the level of sound, the projection, but I still enjoyed it. But the it was more of the screening seemed off rather than the films seemed off. The good thing about the Apollo Cinema, which is where they did the Anime All Nighter, is it's a really good cinema.
So you got the best possible experience for your first
Well,
time.
I say that no, because the first reel was missing all the dialogue track.
Oh God! Did they start the film from the start again?
Oh no, they didn't. No.
Ah right.
So it wasn't until the second screening that I knew actually what they were saying during the first part of the
That's
name.
An interesting way to go about watching it, but not through choice, obviously.
And then I saw it again, as I mentioned, a couple of weeks ago at Iacon, which was a good screening. I mean, it was off the Blu-ray, but it was a good projection of it, and the sound was good. And it's a sort of a nice little cinema.
Did that get a full house? Was that pretty full?
No, it didn't, because it was at 11 a.m. in the morning. Everyone was hungover.
Mm, that's a shame. That's a shame. Because probably if more people had seen it, we might have had a guess.
Or they were being made up. Yeah. Or they were being made up in cosplay.
That's very true. Someone else. Yeah.
Made up into Randy Sailors.
It's a shame I did miss that.
Is there any photos of you? Made up as saucy sailor.
Due to time constraints, I ended up being last doing it, and I only got one eye done. So, and which was later finished to be in two eyes later on in the afternoon, just to, because I couldn't be bothered to walk. Because, well, I could have washed it off, but it takes a lot of effort to wash makeup off. Not that you'd know, of course, Brian, but it takes a lot of effort.
Oh, it's been a while. I did used to use it for when I was doing amateur dramatics.
Right, right.
So your entire face made up. You've got to, and also wash the glue of the beard I had glued onto my chin.
Oh, I've never had to stick a beard on, thankfully.
It's when you've had to stick the beard on and then you've also spent the morning wandering around town in costume promoting the play.
I would like to see you on stage. I would like to see one of your little things.
It's been a very long, long, long time since I've done that. So.
Might be documented somewhere, perhaps.
Seeing me doing panels.
Which is good enough, which is good.
Yeah, it probably is documented. My old secondary school, if they haven't, unless the tapes have got destroyed, they did tape it, so it was recorded at some point. Now, whether those tapes have survived, I don't know. But
I don't think I'd ever be able to get a hold of them because it would look a bit dodgy.
It would
some
be.
Guy asking that. I don't know what year it was. Or it would be a bit strange. But yes, I've finally caught up. I've only watched it once. Well, I say watched it once with having been making an AMV of it. I've had to watch scenes again and again. So I'm kind of catching up slightly. Not quite, but nearly.
The main unifying thing of all those screens is just when people come out, they say, oh, when can we buy this? Mm. It's, if they'd had it for sale for 100 quid the first time I saw it, I'd have probably stumped up for it. Now, the thing is, I haven't ordered the Blu-ray for 80 quid because I know the UK one's coming out in November. But if it wasn't coming out in November, I probably would have stumped up them.
Could have bought it for 80 quid where?
I know Otaku have got it. I don't know whether they had it at the con. Mm. They probably should have done it.
80 quid?
Yeah.
Well, why charge so heavy? Obviously, it's not out over here and stuff, but still.
No, because Blu-rays cost and DVDs cost more money in Japan. If you want a good idea, go to Amazon, the Japanese Amazon page, and look up UK TV shows.
Right.
So things which have actually come out over there. So they've got Mighty Boosh.
Maybe? Oh, Mighty Boosh.
I think Doctor Who's there as well. Mighty Boosh, Little Britain, they're out in Japan.
But I can't imagine Little Britain being that popular over there.
It was on Wow Wow, the satellite channel, if I remember correctly. Right. So it's obviously, you have to pay extra to want to, so you'd be somebody who wanted to watch, that'd be British comedy. Which there are people out there.
Somewhere.
But, so the Mighty Boosh comes out. So over here, you get an entire series.
15
in
quid?
One set. No, yeah, 15 quid. Over there, it's divided into two sets per series.
Yeah.
And then it also costs more than it would for the single series in the UK.
That's disgusting. I look into the prices, but I wasn't aware that DVDs and Blu-rays were a lot more expensive over there. It seems strange. But never mind.
Yes, they are. So they're expensive to begin with, then it's a Blu-ray, and then you're also importing it. So
it's going to cost you a bit of money. Yeah. So had it not been getting released in November, you would have picked that up for 80 quid?
Yes, because it's got the English subtitles on it.
Bloody hell. More money than sense, that lad.
And then I'd have had to bought a Blu-ray player, which would have been able to play it. But,
Jesus. Well, PS3's a open region kind of
Blu-rays?
Yeah, because a lot of Blu-rays are actually multi-region anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, though.
Oh, that's a good thought.
Not many anime ones are. Mm. A lot of the Warner Brothers, as far as I can tell, are the main people who do the multi...
Yeah, they do, yeah. I've got got something, I think, that's not from here. But yes, let's get on to Redline.
Yeah, so... Yeah, describe it for people who aren't aware what Redline is.
Well, Redline... Am I going to talk about the... No, you can talk about the director and writer and stuff later. Redline is about a guy who wants to be this racer, blah, blah, blah. The story's not important. High-octane racing. It's just... Oh, it's everything you could want to see. Without the story, if that makes sense. If you're not caring about it does.
Yeah, people who say it hasn't got a story are people who mistake lots of writing for good writing.
See, I'm not criticising it, but there is a story there, but it's not important.
And I'd say it is for the characters, the three main characters. There's a story for them, and it's important for them.
But what did you watch it for? Story or the animation?
Yeah, probably the animation. But I like the way the story works for the animation.
Yes. It's the nice, animation, simple.
Yeah. The animation wouldn't be as good as it was if it didn't have the sort of story it's got.
That's very true. I'm not criticizing. This is not a criticism. I'm just kind of... For those who don't know what it is, it's basically these crazy characters and these crazy... Picture wacky races... From Japan.
Yeah. I mean, I've written down as my references for it. It's so there's a bit of Speed Racer in there.
Definitely.
There's a bit of The Great Race, the film by Blake Edwards, which inspired Wacky Races to begin with. A bit of Cannonball Run.
Death
a bit
Race.
Of European sci-fi comics, so stuff like you'd see in Heavy Metal or 2000 AD.
Mm.
And particularly... I mean, I'm pretty sure they are Jamie Hewlett fans,
right,
to begin with. Particularly if you've seen Trapper Fist Planet, the earlier OAV they did.
Yeah, I read up a little about
that. Ties into Redline. But Jamie Hewlett did a strip in Deadline, which wasn't Tank Girl, called Fireball, which was a science fiction version of Cannonball Run. So I think that if I'm... I'd be highly surprised if they hadn't heard of that. They may have not read it, but I'd imagine they may well have heard it. But obviously, Trevor is very influenced by... Oh, God, I can't remember his name now. The kangaroo guy out of Tank Girl. Tank Girl's boyfriend.
Oh, I don't know what he's called. But yeah, it's... I think definitely comparing to other things is some way to kind of categorise it. And it's... Speed Racer, because you haven't seen the live-action Speed Racer, have you?
I have, yes.
Oh, you have now, have you?
I saw it when
you came. Oh, right. I must be thinking of someone else. And did you like that or not?
No, it's too long. It's far too long.
See, I really like Speed Racer.
Visually, it's great. Mm-hmm. But, well, let me say, some of its visuals are great. I don't like the bookend races, which look like a video game.
Right.
Maybe you could have done it once, but twice was too much. And that's the reason why I think it's too long. You need to be like Redline, where there's only two races rather than three.
Yeah, which I was surprised that there only being two races. Because obviously, I don't know what I was going to expect. But after obviously, I seen Speed Racer first. So I was expecting race after race after race. But with that said, Redline does a better job of just having two races.
And there's two different races as well.
They are very different, yeah.
Because Speed Racer has basically two types of race, but you get one of them twice.
Mm. I really liked Speed Racer. I went to the cinema to see it, and I compare Redline a lot to Speed Racer. You may disagree with that, but it's very samey. But as you say,
similar,
it's not as long.
Samey. Yeah, Speed Racer is very samey. I don't know about very similar. But no, Speed Racer, I like the rally race at Speed Racer. I like the general look of it. I think the rally race...
Is that the one in the desert at the...
Yeah.
Is that the first?
I think that's the one which was supposedly directed by the V for Vendetta guy rather than the Wachowski brothers.
Oh, right.
Because he was the second unit director.
Yeah.
I think he might have done that one instead of them, because it looks more like the cartoon than the other
races. Of the races, yeah. Yeah. See, I've got it on Blu-ray, Speed Racer. It looks fantastic on Blu-ray.
Well, yeah, I still might pick it up on Blu-ray, because it's
definitely worth watching.
Normally get it pretty cheap. But I just found it too long. I'm sure you could take that film and edit it down into a better film.
There is a lot of stuff in it that's just... You just want to hurry up.
Yeah.
And unlike Redline, you're content just to let it play out, let it do its thing, and enjoy it as it is, unlike Speed Racer at times where you want to fast forward to the next race.
I think the character work works a bit better in Redline as well. I wouldn't say a bit better, a lot better than Speed
Racer. Fair enough.
Because the bulk of the middle of Redline is all these like little character vignettes and scenes between all the Redline racers.
Yeah. Which some of them are pretty funny as well.
Yes.
Lynchman and...
Johnny Boy.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, though.
Who were kind of like Beavis and Butthead if they were Batman and Robin.
That's very true. But yeah, I think, I'm going to say this early on, I was probably going to save this to the end, but whether you like anime or not, you need to see this.
Yeah, it's a big throwback to the sort of anime which was popular in the 90s in the UK. And there's a reason for that, and that is because the director, Takeshi Koike, is a protege of Yoshiaki Kawajiri, who was responsible for directing a lot of those popular OAVs in the 90s. Mm. He started out, I believe, as an in-betweener on Wicked City. He did the mecha design on Cyber City Oedo.
Very nice.
Some of the stuff he worked on include Ninja Scroll, Stink Bomb, X the Movie, I think, and some Cardcaptor Sakura work.
See, I read that Koike went straight from school to working with that other guy. How awesome would that be? Straight out of school, like, doing a bit animation. I don't know how old he was, and then just going straight into that.
I'm sure his parents weren't pleased.
Probably not at the time, but maybe now they might give him a nod.
Yeah, then he started directing with the OAV's Trava Fist Planet, which ties directly into Redline. The two leads out of that, Trava and, I can never remember his name. Is it Shinkai?
Yeah.
Yeah, the little armoured alien weirdo.
I really want to watch that now, because those characters, obviously, they're in this, and they're in quite a bit, and they've got their own little thing, and they're quite interesting. I'd like to see more of them, too. I like the look of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about a lot of there's the three main characters, who is JP, Somashi, and Frisbee. They get the main story, but then there's always, like, there's like these little glimpses into other stories that you're not getting the full picture of.
Like, so, in potentially, there could be a film for each little arc, or...
Yeah, quite possible. Or at least they're expanding on the world. Because the biggest thing is it Planet Supergrass, isn't it?
The one with the military on it, or...?
No, that's Robo World.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, Robo World is where... which is kind of like a stand-in for North Korea. Really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Because they don't want them looking at it to see the weapons. So it's kind of, if you did the Cannonball Run, if you made a Cannonball Run sequel and the race was driving from one end of North Korea to the other.
This would be it.
Yeah. Or at least the latter part of the film. Mm.
Apparently, this was 7 years in production. Is that true?
That's true. I bought the anime style, which is, I think, style.fm, if I remember the website. The art book they produced, and the initial character sketches in there are dated 2003.
That's obscene. That's obscene.
But you see the work, you see those 7 years on the screen, though.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I don't know how much of what's on the screen was produced in those 7 years, because there was the original trailer, which I saw somebody's dodgy YouTube copy, filmed at, I think, 2007... Tokyo Anime Fair.
Yeah.
That trailer was entirely different footage to what There's no footage in that trailer, which is in the film.
Does it look better or worse?
It looks pretty much exactly the same. It but kind of just... played out like a its own, like, short, basically.
All right, okay. Might come as an extra on the Blu-ray.
I think it may well do, yeah. Mm. And the initial character sketches, some of them look quite different. Like the two human characters whose names escape me.
Oh, yes. They've got like the dodgy haircuts.
Yeah, they are the ugliest characters.
Oh, God.
Human beings are the ugliest characters in the film. Mm. They looked less ugly, but much more nerdy in their initial character sketches. Right. And, sort of the Sonoshi and JP are much more exaggerated.
I was about to ask about JP because I love everything about his attire. His hair, which is obviously a massive part. He just looks so cool, and I would love to see a good cosplay of that. But I don't know who would do that justice. But
and whether the people would mistake it for a Fonz cosplay.
it could certainly happen. But yeah, I would like to see some of the character designs, actually, because obviously they play a big part in the...
Yeah, they're not produced in really big size in this book, and I don't know whether any of the other ones have got them in like the full sheet, but these are quite, they'd like got lots of the character sheets all squashed down onto a page,
right,
so you can spot things like I spotted there's obviously the guy who we see in a flashback is called Nice Guy, apparently. You never get his name in the
There's a point the mob boss.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to turn out to be that nice guy.
You're not the only... Somebody else mentioned that on Twitter, and I never thought of it. But there's nothing in the sketches to say they are, but at the same time, nothing to say they're not.
So I don't know whether it's just me overanalyzing it, or... Because it could well be. He's been fixing races and stuff like that. I don't know whether he's...
Yeah, I mean, I should look at that when next time I see it. The other thing which I thought on the fourth viewing was... The president of RoboWorld's got all these advisors, hasn't he? And there's the one who's got the sort of, I don't know if it's a Siamese cat or a sort of elongated chihuahua thing. Like the political advisor who operates
the big gun, the laser.
Disintegrator cannon.
Yeah.
Because I got the feeling that he's kind of setting up the president to fall on watching it a fourth time. Because he's the only one who isn't losing his cool when everything else is going on. Everybody else is going, the president particularly, and then I can't remember the other guy's name, Volton, the head of the army.
Yeah.
Who takes it to a particular extreme, which we won't go into, but he loses it completely.
That's a good observation, that, actually. Definitely.
So he just seems incredibly calm all the way through everything falling apart around them. And yeah, so there's things like Pint Supergrass, which we should go back, getting back to that, which is the magic planet with the princess, who's kind of, I think she's a reference to, isn't Barbarella, isn't the villain turn out to be a child in that? I can't remember, it's a long time since I've seen it. And I don't think I've ever seen it all in one go either.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, but yeah, that... I think their planet is very sort of Barbarella, and we only saw glimpses of it with
the
racer in the first race and the super boings and the magic the princess does. And then you've got the humans who are being chased by Gory Rider.
Is that that's the cop?
Yes.
Isn't it? The hard knock cop.
Yes.
And he's apparently having an affair.
Yeah, which we get glimpses into his life as well. The thing I wanted to mention in the another thing from the art book that I hadn't realised, there's in the first race they mention the dog faced guy is from Planet Bonds.
Right.
And he's a reference to the series Hal and Bonds, which was another animated series around the same time as Trevor.
Is Trevor actually any good, or
it is good, yeah, definitely worth seeking out and watching.
When was that out? Because obviously it's going to be a step down.
Early 2000s, I think.
Right. I'll check that out, definitely.
Maybe 2000 itself. Anything else I wanted to mention? So the other guy behind it is Katsuhiko Ishii, and he worked on Trevor Fist Planet as well, and also he's done the films Party 7, Taste of Tea, and Funky Forest, Have you seen any of those?
I haven't, but I'm I'm guessing. You know the bit where JP kind of realizes he can't actually compete in the red line race? And you see that family sat down for dinner?
Yeah.
Is that a family from one of their other works, or...?
I don't think so. I mean, there's character sketches for them in the art book I've got.
Right.
And they're pretty early on as well.
I thought it was going to be a reference to...
They maybe are, because I've not seen them either. I know Funky Forest has got a bunch of animation in it, as well as live-action stuff.
Right.
And Party 7 has some Kawakai animation as well. I've got Funky Forest to watch, but I haven't seen the rest. And they're all out on Region 1. I don't think they've made their way over here to the UK.
I hate Region 1s. I used to find it so easy to watch them now, but now I like to watch stuff on my PlayStation 3.
I know.
I just won't have any of it, obviously.
That was the only thing. I bought my PlayStation 3 last week.
Is it treating you well?
It's treating me well. I've not really used it for much more than watching BBC iPlayer on it yet.
Oh, that's good, though.
It is good, yeah. You can get HD on that quite over wireless without much problem.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I bought Yakuza 4 yesterday to play.
Right.
Second hand, but I'm in the middle of... I'm playing Saints Row 2 at the moment, because I picked that up for £7.
Going to be getting the third one?
Well, that's why I bought it, to decide whether or not to buy the third one. And I may well. I didn't like it to begin with, because I found most of the characters pretty obnoxious. I find skipping all the cutscenes takes that problem away.
Oh, man. Always find the shortcut to not have to put up with stuff.
But yeah, so I was wondering whether to get a straight-ahead DVD player which would do multi-region. A straight-ahead Blu-ray player which would do multi-region DVDs, but I'll just have to stick with my old multi-region DVD.
I reckon you could pick up a basic DVD player, multi-region one, for relatively cheap now, I'd imagine.
You can. I mean, the one I got for £23 from Tesco's.
That's damn good.
And I think you can get an upscaling one for about £40 now.
I do like the upscaling. I do like to upscale stuff. Supersize me. But another thing I loved about Redline is I'm kind of comparing it to Blade Runner here. I don't know whether I should, but you know how Blade Runner's got... It kind of mentions stuff on the other world, and there's all these other things just going on in the background that doesn't get touched. I feel that with Redline, it's got this kind of organic... It's almost got its own universe. I don't know whether I'm upscaling it or not.
No, you're right. Yeah, it's the sort of world building I like as well. Yeah, I don't like world building which stops the story to tell you about how the world works. It goes, okay, we're throwing you in this world. You'll get glimpses of little bits elsewhere, but just sort of stay focused on the general story.
Exactly.
Be fine.
The hat's off for them for doing that, and it works really well. Like, you see all the different little aliens and stuff, and I love that. I'm always fascinated by that kind of... I think organic is the best word to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, best thing I've seen recently which doing that way is... which is the series I'm slowly getting through, which is the second Someday's Dreamers series at the moment. And there's a bit where a character is doing a massive amount of exposition, but your point of view, the character you've got the point of view with, starts daydreaming, and so ignores the entire exposition until she comes back in at the end. And so you just got like last few sentences of it, and you're like, hang on, what? So you just get little glimpses without having to sit down and listen to the boring lecture that the character themselves were finding boring.
true to life. Yeah. I've got some cracking quotes about this as well. Quentin Belletti and Peter Martin must have reviewed this for Twitch Film or something, and they said it is Speed Racer on crack. I think
that was exactly the sort of when I wrote an article on Redline while feeling very ill for the Icon Con book, and that was exactly the phrase I was trying to avoid saying. I don't know if I put it in the phrase what I was going to put in as like a parody of that was this film is so good it'll cobble your shoes while you sleep at night.
You should have put that in.
I may have done, I can't remember. Like I said, I was very ill when I wrote it, so I'm not entirely sure what was in it in the end. But yeah, it's like, oh, no, saying things are on crack is is just lazy.
An easy way out, yeah.
Yeah, it's like things on steroids.
But yeah, that's what they said, and it's true. It's kind of true.
But, is it? It's not desperately searching for money to make it. It's not Speed Racer emaciated trying to mug you with a knife.
No, no, true, true. But I'd say I can't make my mind up whether... Because honestly, I really do enjoy Speed Racer, and I really did enjoy this. And this, oh, I don't know which...
The answer's right, this is, the answer is this is better than Speed Racer.
I see, it has been a while since I've watched Speed Racer. And... I don't know, but with this, when I watched this, I started watching it on my PlayStation 3, and it was struggling to keep up with it. Like, cause
that's because you were watching a dodgy downloaded
version. Well, you said dodgy, it's dodgy in regards to download, yes, but it was actually, it was 720p, and it just, you know, like, there's all the bits with the crowd clapping and there's like confetti and stuff. The PlayStation just shook its head and said, nah, I'm not even going to try and play that properly. And just started slowing down. I thought, oh. Because it looked fantastic on my big screen. Then I had to watch it on my desktop.
No, yes, this is also something I wanted to talk about. Was the obviously, it's come out in Blu-ray in Japan. So, obviously, it's been pirated. People are downloading it, such as yourself and other people. And this was the thing which I just suddenly found annoying. I shouldn't really complain because I watch downloaded stuff as well. But it's like, I was going to... I'd got stuff I wanted to talk about, but I was holding off until the UK Blu-ray came out so I could properly go through and analyse it. And then you see posts where people have already done it because they're just doing it from the download. And you go,
Oh, right, I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's like driving me.
See, you've got to be quick. You can't wait around for UK to release stuff. It's clearly, they take too long.
He was like, oh, that was a great point I wanted to make, and you've already made it because you're a dirty pirate. But then I can't complain too much because I'm sure I've done exactly the same to other people. But no, the thing which somebody mentioned, I can't remember who it was. I'm not going to mention their names because they pirated it. Whereas I, well, they might have not. They might have imported the Blu-ray. Who am I to throw aspersions upon these people whose names I can't remember? But no, the point they made, which I was wanted to make, and I do quite like about the film, is that... It's a rare film where you've got the male character looks up to the female character. In the, the reason JP's racing turns out to be Sonoshi. You get one reason early on with this, with the nice guy, but it turns out the real reason he keeps on racing, and it's not nothing to do with romance or anything like that, is that she actually inspires him to keep on racing.
That's a good point, definitely.
And, yeah, you don't see very often in films.
No. I never thought of it like, true. So, we haven't really spoke about what happens in it, really. We've just kind of...
Well, yeah, because people should go and watch it.
Yeah, that's the best way. Obviously, there's not much to spoil as such, but just enjoy it.
And there was that article recently about how... reading spoilers actually makes you enjoy films better, but...
Is that what people thought?
Yeah, they did some research, medical research, and, or something along those lines, it may not have been medical research, they did some research. and it turns out, yeah, looking at spoilers doesn't actually ruin films for you. In fact, in most cases, it makes you enjoy them better because you might think about them more the first time you watch them.
Well, see, I wouldn't say... like them better, but it certainly adds to a different view and experience.
Yeah.
Which is certainly acceptable. I know a lot of people who love spoilers. Like, I've watched stuff in like the wrong order. Say, like, I watched End of Evangelion before anything else. It's kind of like an interesting way to go around it for me.
My ultimate wrong order was I saw the final episode of Nadia, Secret of Blue Water, before I saw any of the other 38 or however many episodes.
Does that end with a big spoiler or a big...
Not really. No, because I think the finale's actually happened in previous episodes. The last episode's more like an epilogue.
Right. But when you know what happens, it's kind of interesting to see how it builds up to that.
I'm thinking of going for some spoilers for Game of Thrones, because otherwise I'm not sure how I'm going to have to keep on stopping and trying to keep track of how many of these characters are.
Well, are you going to start watching it?
I've started watching it. I can't get. I've not got very far because I'm like, oh, it sounds like this feels like hard work.
Seriously,
why there's so many characters to remember?
How far are you into it now?
Oh, about halfway through the first episode.
Oh God, Brian.
It's like, why are there so many of these sons, and why do they all look the same except slightly different heights with all the same haircuts?
when I think back at the time, there's characters you just think, oh, I'm going to forget who you are in the next episode, so
yeah, even if my screen. Or I need to wait for Game of Thrones Kai when they edit it down to a more visual side.
Oh, I think you'll grow to love it, Brian. It's very good. It's very good.
I don't know about that. I'm not a big fantasy fan to begin with, so it's not on top of my list of things to watch.
Honestly, it'll like. Do you know anything about what happens in it or not?
No. I assume there's some thrones, and they have a game
regarding the thrones. Yeah, yeah. Pretty
it's
much.
Sort of like musical chairs, where the music stops.
With more blood,
take a throne away.
No, honestly, you'll grow to love it. Guaranteed.
Well, how much are you guarantee?
a
money back guarantee for these.
Maybe not a money back guarantee, but no, I'm pretty sure it'll grow on you. It will. So, who is your favourite character in Red Line? I always love to know who people's favourites are.
I'm trying to think. I think it is. I can't even remember the guy's name. It's the
mechanic.
Yeah, the scrap.
I knew you were going to see him. I do like him as well. I do like him. I don't really want to say the obvious of being JP, because I bet nobody dislikes JP. There's nothing to dislike about JP. He's sweet JP. But no, I do like, you know, the guy who's with Trevor and Shinkai, the guy who, when he cries, he gets...
Oh, yeah, little... Oh, I can't remember his... Yeah, he's a brother. There's his brother as well. Hang on, look. Just Vampire, go and get the book, I'll dig his name out.
Yeah, he's basically this guy who, when he cries, he gets really strong. And he's just like you kind of feel a bit sorry for him. Just, it's my human nature for when people cry to kind of feel a bit sympathy for them. But I think you're right with little something or other.
Is it Little Dayzuma?
That's the one.
Little Dayzuna, sorry.
And he ends up chasing... I'm not seeing what happens. It's not a big problem.
Yeah, his brother's Big Dayzuna, and he's the one with the pointy head out of the other two.
Because
there's him, there's his brother who's got the... Well, I assume it's his brother. He's Big Dayzuna. He might be his dad. Who knows? His pointy head. He's got like a pointy head and like a Cylon, Cyclops type eye visor thing.
I can't remember.
And then the other one's got like a mustache robotic eye.
Oh, yes, I remember the mustache guy. Yeah.
His name's Sabose.
Yeah, I think I remember now. Yeah. And they're like, they used to belong in the military or something like that. But I like him. I do like him. But obviously, JP. Gotta love JP. JP's great. Nothing to dislike about him. Especially not his hair. Best pompadour. Is there any better pompadours, do you think?
What's his face out of Shaman King? He's got an even bigger pompadour.
Wow. What about the guy? Isn't there a guy in One Piece with a big pompadour?
Frankie's more of a quiff.
Ah, right. It's a thin line between pompadours would say.
It's now retractable, and also it varies depending on what sort of fuel he's using.
See, that makes no sense to me. No sense.
I saw on Twitter you were checking out One Piece.
Well,
does apparently the new arc start next week?
Apparently.
Okay, apparently we might talk about that next time.
I would, yeah, I'd be interested.
Or maybe the time after.
I bet I regret jumping in this late, but what the hell? It's going to happen.
Shaming.
I'm trying to think what else. I don't want to give too much away with Redline, but I feel. I've got some good quotes about it.
Are they better than Speed Racer on crack?
Yeah.
Speed Racer on steroids. Speed Racer on ecstasy.
Oh, Jesus, they're the next two. No, somebody said, Redline has a feel of an American blockbuster action. Sorry, Redline has a feel of an American summer blockbuster action movie. And I agree
That sounds fair enough. Because one of my favourites, because they basically it's action, rest, action, which works for a lot of, like Blade 2. I really like that as a.
Yeah, I like Blade 2. It's pretty good.
Because basically, action only stops in the middle for them to reload.
That's Guillermo del Toro as well.
Yeah,
I do like him. I do like him. But yeah, that quote kind of sums up the kind of feeling I got when I was watching Redline. Because it's fun. And I was just so annoyed that I had to kind of make that little 30-second break to go upstairs and watch it on my computer. Because I just wanted to just watch it in one fell swoop. But unfortunately, I couldn't. But yeah, I still loved it.
Watch it early next. The music. There's something else to talk about. It's awesome. It's composed by James Shimoji.
Yeah, he does a pretty good job. I don't know what else he's done.
He's done. Oh, I did have it. I didn't copy it over to this document. What's the Japanese film with Vinnie Jones in it?
I was about to say Midnight Meat Train. There, that's not Japanese.
No.
I don't know why that came to mind. I don't know.
I think he did that. Let me just see if I can find why.
Vinnie Jones in Japan. That sounds like a one to watch. But no, I do like the opening track. I can't remember what it's called, but it's
Series 7, isn't that it?
So much. What was it? Relatively new or
no? Last 10 years.
Oh, I don't know.
At a point at which putting Vinnie Jones in a film still seemed like a good idea.
And people still don't learn, apparently, because I'm looking at his IMDb and he's got a lot of stuff coming out. Learn by your mistakes, Vinny. No, I like Vinny and Lux.
Survive Style 5 plus Party 7. Those are some of the things he did.
Ah, right, I see. But yeah, the opening track on Redline is just... Oh, it sets you up pretty perfectly, really.
It is. Yeah, and, don't listen to it while you're driving, because I'm sure if I ever get points on my license, it's going to be due to that soundtrack. So I was stuck in an hour and a half traffic jam a few weeks ago, and I'd queued up Yellow Line off the Red Line soundtrack to play as soon as I got out of the traffic jam. Because I needed some sort of relief.
Work? Did it help?
It helped, yes. Good, it helped suddenly go from 5 miles an hour, or dead stop for most of it, and then suddenly be able to get back up to 70. I was like, open road. Red Line soundtrack thumping.
I bet you licked your hand and ran your fingers through your hair to create a pompadour as well. Oh, God, but yeah, cracking soundtrack. It's you notice it if you're listening out for it at times, if that makes sense. And it's just there and it does what it's meant to do. And I've got the soundtrack. And I've had a quick listen, and it's good. Really good.
Yeah, it's Ryu is the guy from Shaman King with the ridiculous haircut.
And is so it gets better than JP's, is it?
Well, it starts off better, but he gets the front of it sliced off.
Oh, right. There you go. Will there be anything more due from this Koike guy?
Well, the rumour is... The word on the street, or rather, probably more like the word on the, possibly the Katsuka forums, I'm guessing this is where it may have come from, is that he's working on character designs for a Lupin the Third project.
Right.
That is the rumour. Well, it's only rumour, so.
By project, is it kind of aware whether it's going to be a series or a film?
Well, yeah, this is the thing. Something got announced, and it looked like it was a series, and then... They said, hang on, no, it's not a series, it's a special. Then a French animator on the Katsuka forums says he'd heard from somebody, because whichever studio he works with some Japanese studios, and he'd heard that they're working on both a special and a TV relaunch, because it's kind of, if you've been following Lupin for a while, it's kind of obvious that they need to relaunch it soon, because... a lot of the actors are getting old. One of them's had throat cancer, and so is sort of limited by what you can do. And, yeah, so a bunch of them are in their 70s. One might be his 80s now. Some are in their 50s, 60s. Yeah, so they're getting on. So if you want to carry on Lupin, you're going to either have to start replacing cast members, or probably the better idea would be to, as a big bang, relaunch it all in one go. And it's the last sort of big franchise which hasn't been brought back for a TV series that you could probably get some huge ratings. Because the TV specials every year get huge ratings, and they're not necessarily all that good each time. But regardless of quality,
people watch it, definitely.
People watch it in huge numbers. So they'd heard that TMS, I think the rumour was TMS are doing like a Ghibli style special, and then TMS are working with Madhouse to do a TV series.
Right, so it could make sense that...
But yeah, it could have made sense that... Yeah, because obviously this was a Madhouse film.
Yep.
Okay, it gets associated with Madhouse, and also there's the mystery of people's names disappearing from Gainax's website.
Oh, yes, yep.
So, worked on Redline. So, yeah, if you wanted to, all these rumours you could fit together to make a really exciting picture. But they are just rumours, so it could just be that we'll get another sort of average TMS special at the end of this year from Lupin.
No.
Where the Lupin characters look like Lupin characters, but everybody else kind of looks like they came out of Detective Conan.
I also read that Kawajiri, the other guy, Koike's sensei, he's got something to do with like a sequel to Ninja Scroll or something. I've read it. He has script approval for a Ninja Scroll sequel, which is listed as being in production with no specific release date of 2010.
Yeah, so, I'm sure that.
Could be just a silly rumour, but...
Well, yeah, things take a while to go around, because I saw today that Tatsuru Sato has gone back to ZBEC, and he was director who did Martian successor Nadesco with them and Stelvia.
Right.
Which are two really popular series which people wanted to do more of, but then I think in 2005 he said, that's not happening, you're never going to see any more Nadesco or Stelvia, and also I'm not doing any more work with ZBEC. But apparently whatever was the big stumbling block seems to have gone, and he's now back doing something with them.
Right.
But he's got another show with Satellite, which is more like Nadesco. I think the thing it's adapted from is Miniskirt Space Pirates, but I think it's got a different name for the show, which looks pretty good. But that was supposed to have come out end of this year, but it's not actually coming out till next year, so... But it's got loads of people I like working on it, but so it'll be interesting to see if that turns out.
I was going to say that the voice actor for JP is also in a band apparently called SMAP, which Sports Music Assemble People.
Yeah, I've never been quite sure how. And he was Hal in Hal's Moving Castle, wasn't he, as well?
I haven't heard the original, like the Japanese dub for that, so I've only heard... Is it Christian Bale who...
Yes, it was.
After, yeah. I've only heard Bale doing what he does.
What accent? I've not heard the dub. What accent was he using?
That's a very good question, because I've seen it in the cinema, and... Oh, God.
Because I'm never quite sure what accent he's using when he talks in his supposed real voice nowadays.
That's a good question. I don't know whether he's doing his, as you say, his real voice, or... I don't remember, but the many voices of Christian Bale.
Yeah, you do kind of think, has he actually forgotten what his real voice sounds like?
Because he's British, isn't he?
He's Welsh, isn't he?
Oh, Welsh! Yeah, oh, well, he's covering that up even better than I thought. Oh, well.
Then there's also, Sonoshi is Yu Aoi, and she was played White in Tekken King Crete, and she was also the lead in the live-action Honey and Clover.
Right.
And Frisbee is Tanenobu Asano.
Ha! He's got a funny little credit.
He's got loads of credits, because I think he's the one who's like the proper actor out of the
He's in Thor.
He's in Thor, yeah, exactly.
Which is what I spotted there, and that's quite amusing. But yeah, he is in quite a lot of...
Yeah, he's the big name actor of the cast.
Oh, he's in Itchy the Killer and stuff as well.
Yes. Well, I think that's Redline all summed up. Buy it when it comes out. It's out in the UK in November.
Which isn't that long to wait.
It's not, no. It'll soon creep up on you, and then it'll be Christmas. So buy it for yourself, then buy it for everyone you know for Christmas. Everyone will love it. You know, that was the other thing I wanted to mention, is that I've seen lots of people saying they want to show it to their dads.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a thing on John Krakowski's, or John Kay's blog, because I never quite know how to pronounce his real name, is his one of his big things is that animation should appeal to dads.
Well, I think my dad will quite like it, actually. As long as... Because what... Has there been any announcements for who's doing the English dub?
No, I've not read anything. There may have well been, but I'm not the sort of person who pays any sort of attention to that sort of news.
Because my dad's not the biggest fan of subtitles. He'll watch stuff with subtitles, but if there's a choice...
It is being dubbed. Right. Which is part of the reason why it's out in November. I do believe.
Because it's took its time, hasn't it, really?
It has, but I think a lot of that has to do with Japan, because it didn't come out into Japan on, well, you do, put it this way, I saw it before it came out in Japan in cinema.
Bloody hell.
So, there you go.
See, what kind of reaction did it get in Japan? Are you aware?
In terms of ticket sales, lukewarm, and that might be exaggerating the matter. I don't think it did particularly well. But I don't know whether that's disinterest or distribution, because The Girl Who Let Through Time didn't do very well in the cinema on its initial release, because I think it didn't get released in many cinemas.
But it
still swept up loads of awards. But I'm not sure Red Line's going to sweep awards, because it's not quite as award-friendly as, say, A Girl Who Let Through Time is.
Possibly, yeah. I would love to see just a massive audience for it, because as you're right, what you say, like, it's the kind of thing you can show your dad. I would just love to have everybody I know watch this, whether they're like anime, video games or not. I think there's a little bit for everyone.
Yeah, I think the other problem it's got compared to the 90s OAVs is there's less places for people to accidentally come across it, because there's not as many, because there's only HMV on the high street now. Whereas in the 90s, you had HMV, Virgin Megastore, Our Price. There's less magazines, so there's less places manga video can send it to be reviewed by sort of non-anime magazines. Because I used to read Hip Hop Connection, and that always had anime reviews in, even to the point of recommending importing shows at some point. But that's gone, and I imagine similar.
So I imagine the likes of Empire and stuff would review it.
Yeah, and hopefully video game. Do video game magazines still review things which are video games?
It's been a long time since I bought one of those, but I'm sure they used to do like a little DVD section in the back.
Exactly, but I mean, the fact that you don't know, and I don't know, but we used to buy them.
Says a lot of things, yeah.
There's a lot less people to accident. Well, sorry, a lot less ways for loads of people to accidentally come across Red Line.
Who aren't actually looking for it in the first place.
Yes.
Definitely.
Which is where the boom in the 90s had its advantage, is that they managed to get that sort of... Well, there wasn't... that what hardcore there was, it wasn't worth embracing that to get by. So you had to cross over. But there you go. I think that's everything I've got to say on Red Line.
I'll have a quick browse through my notes. Is there anything else I can say? Nah. Except, go and watch it. And there's no excuse, really, because it's... Oh, and watch my AMV when it finally comes out. Now, I might as well let everybody know where it is. I'm actually using the trailer audio from Speed Racer. Cliche.
Oh, dear.
Because...
You like your fake trailers, don't you?
I do, but the fact is of the matter, it's the one I've got... sorry. The video source I'm using, with it being 720p, it is a bugger to edit with. Because it goes, like, I'm going through scenes and it goes through oh so slow at times. And to do a full, like, 3-minute music video with lots of cuts, it would be a chore, I think, until I can get, like, a slight upgrade on my computer. But yeah, very pretty. Get it on Blu-ray.
In November, you can get it on DVD.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather get it on Blu-ray, but even then...
You can get a double pack. There is a double pack. That's what I've ordered. Because then that ups the amount of people I can hang on to the Blu-ray and I can lend the... I can lend the DVD to people. November Redline double pack.
I think I'll probably pick it up on Blu-ray, actually. I just want to see it on a big screen. Oh, and a book as well. Sold. It's only about 18 quid, isn't it, I think you said?
That's what I ordered it for, yeah.
It's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, due out November 14th, apparently. Let me just double check.
Yes.
In fact, it's even cheaper now, so hopefully they'll be reducing my... Oh, that's just the Blu-ray. Yes, the Blu-ray on its own is $15.93.
That is damn good value. Jeez, looking back to when DVDs first came out, how expensive they were, then when Blu-rays first came out. Jeez, Blu-rays are still quite expensive at times, but I think they're kind of levelling themselves out a little bit.
Yeah, £17.93 is the Redline... Blu-ray DVD double play.
That's good.
It looks like the DVD comes in the different sort of box by the looks of things. So that might just be the wraparound.
I would like to see the guy who does the voice for Spike Spiegel do JP. He seems like a likely candidate.
You're one of these Cowboy Bebop dub fans, aren't you?
Yeah, because I've never seen the original. Like the Japanese dub. But yeah, he can put his voice on anything and it'll work. He could do the voice for Sonoshi, the woman, and he'll do a good job. I always forget his name because I'm sure he's got loads of different aliases. It's like, is it Steve Blum, David Lucas? I've read he's got loads of aliases.
Well, that's because, well, I'm going to guess, I won't say for sure, but I'm going to guess that's because... he has to cover his tracks when he's doing non-union work.
Ah, cheeky monkey. That is very cheeky. But yeah, because I read that a while ago and it was like a huge list of aliases. And I wasn't quite sure why, but that makes sense, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I would like to see him do JP. There's probably other candidates out there, but...
Henry Winkler.
Hey... No, I'm in the mood to watch this again.
That new Kamen Rider, which I think I jokingly referred to as Kamen Rider Fonzie on an earlier episode. I wasn't far off.
Really?
Yeah, the guy, he is dressed awfully like a Japanese Fonz, the guy who turns into that Kamen Rider. He has a nice looking quiff. He has a white t-shirt and a black top open.
It sounds like the Fonz. I also found out the guy who Jonathan Ross cosplayed, he's called something like Robot Detective. Something, it was probably a Japanese name for it, but that's apparently who he was when he did that cosplay. Jonathan Ross. Rossi. Yeah, I've got my trench coat for anyone who's caring that I'm cosplaying. Akita Khan, I've got the trench coat halfway there. Not bad. How much would you pay for a trench coat, Brian?
Oh, I wouldn't. No, I'd trying to think. Let me see. £75.
Oh, Jesus! That's how much a lot of them were. But I've managed to pick one up as long as it fits. I don't know yet. From eBay for £27. And it's not a crappy one either.
It's a light coloured trench coat as well.
Yeah,
I assume for that character, that's not too bad. You won't look like a goth. You won't be one of these goths wandering around in their trench coats in the middle of summer. Long black trench coat. Oh, it's hot out. What shall I put on? Oh, my long black.
The hottest thing possible.
And my black fedora.
speaking of hats, you've seen what Q looks like. Is it a fedora or is it a trilby?
Oh, don't get me started on fedoras and trilbies. I don't know. Q Street Fighter. Because I'm not sure.
If anyone's listening who knows cosplay, who wants to give me some tips, feel free.
cute Street Fighter hat. Let me see if this gives you an answer.
See, on descriptions I've read, they've just said, oh, he wears a coat and a hat. No bloody poo, Sherlock. Could have made it explicit there, but chose not to.
I don't know, it's kind of weird. I'm not sure if it is either. It might be a particularly... It might be just be Q's hat. Because the... yeah, the folds are weird.
They are, aren't they? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you might have to find a Trilby or whichever one.
I've got like, a beard on one, it. But yeah.
You might have to, like, steam... Might have to make a mould. Then steam the hat and then reshape it.
Well, that sounds like a lot of effort. He's a very cool-looking character, though. He's a very cool-looking character.
So, yeah, you're going to make the eyes light up?
Somebody mentioned that on Twitter, and... Oh, God. I wouldn't know how to... I'm sure I could find out, obviously, but... I don't know. We'll see how the costume comes on, and if it's, like, looking good enough to kind of warrant to, say, put that bit more effort in to make them light up. Why the hell not? Why the hell not? That's what I say. Why the hell not?
Right, anything you want to plug?
Twitter, obviously, and ask you. YouTube, my YouTube channel is Seng808, T-S-E-N-G 808. And hopefully within the next week there should be a Redline AMV on there. This is amusing, actually. I'll just mention this. I said to you, oh, I'll get this Redline video out quick while it's still in the Redline boom. A YouTube search Redline AMV. There's AMVs from 10 bloody months ago. People have already done it. People have been there, done that.
I've just been editing the trailers.
Possibly so, but I didn't... None of them were that good of a quality. I'd imagine so. But yeah, I'll be the first to have a 720p video up on YouTube of it. So check it out. What about you, Brian? I'm sure you've got stuff to...
Usual. I'm awesome_engine on Twitter. The website is awesome-engine.com. You can find us on Facebook under Dynamite in the Brain. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Dynamite in the Brain. And we're under Feedburner, sort of feedburner.com/Dynamite in the Brain. That's your lot.
That's all you're getting.
No, cheerio.
Watch Redline. Bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the Brain. Dynamite in the Brain. Dynamite in the Brain. Dynamite in the Brain. Dynamite in the Brain.